For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Jesus Fulfilled His Purpose, as we pick up in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
All over the world, those who believe on Jesus Christ, those who believe upon God, who was manifest in the flesh. And then he was received up into glory. He said, I came from the Father, I'm going to the Father. In his return to the Father, the cycle was complete. His ministry was accomplished. Jesus came to manifest to man what God is, and he was the true and the faithful witness. All that we need to know about God, we discover in Jesus Christ. No man has seen the Father at any time, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath manifested him, made him known, declared him. God, who at sundry times and in different ways spoken to our fathers through the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his own dear Son, whom he hath made heir of all things, who was the effulgence of his glory, or the outshining of his glory. So he fulfilled his purpose in manifesting God to us, and he fulfilled the purpose of redeeming the world back to God through his death upon the cross. So now, as he returns to the Father, he is promising that he is going to send to them the Holy Spirit, one who would come alongside of them to help them. I will not leave you without help, he said. But I will pray to the Father, and he will give to you another helper, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. And he tells us that when the Spirit comes, we will receive power. What kind of power? Power to be like God. Great is the mystery of being like God. You cannot be like God with your best effort, no matter how hard you try. It isn't within our nature or our power to change our nature to be like God. The only way I can be like God is through the power of the Holy Spirit working in me and changing that nature. And so the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the church was the proof that Jesus had indeed ascended to the Father. Because that was his promise. When he came to the Father, he was going to send the Comforter. It is necessary for you that I go away, because if I go away, if I go not away, the Comforter cannot come, that Helper, the Holy Spirit. But if I go away, I will send him. And so Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, and through the power and the working of the Holy Spirit within my life, God-likeness is now possible. And as I am yielding myself day to day, the work of the Holy Spirit in me every day is making me a little more like God. As Paul the Apostle said, I have not yet apprehended that for which I was apprehended, neither do I count myself perfect. but I'm pressing towards the mark. What is the mark? Being like God. God-likeness. And so I'm on my way. And as John said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doesn't yet appear what we're going to be, but we know when he appears, we're going to be like him. One of these days, his work will be complete in us, and we will be just like God. And the purposes of God will now be accomplished in his creation for man. For God created man to be like him. And through Jesus Christ, I, and the power of the Holy Spirit, I am being restored into the image of God. Great is the mystery of being like God. But that mystery is solved in the incarnation and through the work of the Holy Spirit that Jesus has sent. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Here Paul speaks of a departure from the faith. There are some who claim that such a thing is an impossibility. But the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, there would be some who would depart from the faith. Jesus, in speaking of his return, said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? A question. He also told his disciples that because of the iniquity of the earth abounding, the love of many will wax cold. And so it means that living in the last days is going to be living under a great pressured situation. We are finding that to be true. The opportunity of fulfilling a person's fantasies for sin are all around. You can indulge yourself now in just about any type of a sinful fantasy that you may desire. Read the personal columns in your Santa Ana Register. Any kind of a experience that a person may desire is available for a price. Pornography, the openness of our society, the breakdown of the moral values, has opened a door of opportunity for anyone to just indulge themselves in their flesh. Jesus said, because the iniquity of the earth shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. The Spirit speaks expressly of the latter days that many will be departing from the faith. It is not easy to live the Christian life in this world in which we live today, that is so totally given over to the flesh. You cannot look at any of the media without being exposed in some way or other to the things of the flesh. It's not easy to live a Christian life now. These last days, it's going to be harder to keep the faith is going to take a positive commitment. As Daniel, you're going to have to determine in your heart that you're not going to defile yourself with the opportunities in the world around you, but that you're going to live completely and totally for God, a life of God-likeness. And you cannot do it without the power of the Spirit. So the Spirit speaks expressly of the last days. It's going to be tough. Many will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. And how much seduction is in the world today? Seductive spirits are in the world today. I mean, it's there. It's all around you. The seductive spirits. And to doctrines of devils. And I'll tell you, in our society today, men are espousing the doctrines of devils, telling you that any kind of life is acceptable to God. The Lord said because they did not want to believe the truth, God turned them over to believe a lie. And men would believe a lie rather than the truth. And I have found this so true today. You take any kind of a screwy heresy, and it can spread all over the world in 6 months. If you want to become popular, just dream up some new heresy for the church. Oh, how I wish to God that they would be more careful in the things that they allow to be proclaimed. I wish they'd just stick to the Word of God. People are so reticent to receive the truth, but so ready to receive a lie, a heresy. People are so ready to believe that California is going to get wiped out during the Olympics in an earthquake. How many people have called all worried, you know? Oh my, you know. This earthquake's going to come. I've lived through at least 10 of these visions. And it hasn't come yet. Now, I'll tell you what's going to happen. I'll make my own predictions now. When the Olympics are over and the earthquake did not hit, they are then going to start taking credit that their prayers kept it from happening. I mean, there's no way they're going to lose. They fasted and they prayed and they saved California. Look how that thing in just a couple of weeks' time has swept through the whole community. Our switchboard has been swamped this week with this nonsense. Hey, if you want to predict that there's going to be an earthquake in California, man, there's nothing to that. Of course there's going to be. I mean, this is earthquake country. We're surrounded by faults. But I predict that we won't have a major earthquake during the Olympics. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. I really wonder how these evangelists and all can really sleep at night with all of the gimmicks that they pull. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. I don't know if you've been cursed to be on their mailing list or not. But we keep a file. And the things that they can dream up to extract money from people. And you wonder, how can they do that? In the name of God, how can they tell such outlandish lies? The only answer is their conscience has to be seared with a hot iron. They have no conscience. For them to live in palatial mansions, do the things they do, and then get up and say, friends, we need your money. Our tour guide in Israel gets after me. He said, you don't know how to operate a tour. He said, tour leaders with famous names never travel with the people on a tour. They don't travel on the jets with the people. They fly over in their own private jets. And they don't get on the buses with the people. They get in private limos, and they'll meet the people twice during the tour and then fly home in their jets. He said, you travel all around with the people. He said, you never make deals with the tourist shops and all. He said, you just don't know how to operate a tour. He said, now, you ought to come and watch some of these fellas at work. The conscience is seared with a hot iron. How in the name of God can they do these things? Except their conscience is just seared with a hot iron. Now, in some of these last day weird things, there are those who will be forbidding to marry. Of course, marriage is becoming almost a thing of the past. It's move in with me. And there are so many just move in relationships without marriage. That's the thing of the day. Abstaining from meats, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. A lot of the cult things and occult things get into vegetarianism. But Paul tells us these things, meat is to be received with thanksgiving, of course. For the meat is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So pray over your meal and eat it. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereinto thou hast attained. So, remind the brethren of these things, Paul said, writing to Timothy. If you do, then you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ as you nourish them in the words of faith. Sound good doctrine. But refuse the profane and old wives' fables, but exercise thyself rather to godliness. Now you can waste a lot of time in earthquake scares, reading a lot of the junk that's published. Better to exercise yourself unto godliness. Bodily exercise profits a little, or for a little. It doesn't really forbid it. It's good. It's got a little profit to it. But more profitable is godliness. It's profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Years ago, when I really made my choice between medicine and as a career and the ministry as a career, as the Lord was dealing with me and speaking to my heart concerning the ministry, He pointed out to me that by going into medicine, by becoming a medical doctor, by ministering to people's physical needs, I could help people, but at the best, it would only be temporal. So they're strong and healthy and live for 100 years. But if I would go into the ministry and minister to the spirit of man, healing the spirits, bringing spiritual healing, that I would be involved in something that would benefit them eternally. And he more or less put it up to me, how do you want to benefit man? In a temporary way or in an eternal way? And when he put it to me that way, I had no choice. Now, Paul is saying the same thing about exercise. Physical exercise has temporal benefits, but godliness has eternal benefits. Now, we are living in a day of, you know, it's sort of a craze, you know, this physical exercise. Jogging, aerobic exercises. The other night, my wife and I were eating in a restaurant. We looked across the street. We saw all these heads bouncing up and down and all. And man, the whole time we were eating, they were bouncing. I did admire them. And I didn't eat dessert. But this bit of physical fitness, it's a craze. It's swept America. And that's all right. Paul's not really coming down on it. I mean, bodily exercise has some value. Toning up yourself and all, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But godliness, exercising yourself in godliness, hey, that you will reap eternal dividends. Let me tell you what. I used to be about the most physically fit person around. In time, it'll get all of you. I mean, you may, you know, go for it for a time. Sure, it's great. But ultimately, what was it? The guy that did all the writing on everything you want to know about running? How about that? Died of a heart attack while he was jogging. Mr. Fix. You know, better watch out for that jogging. It's dangerous to your health, you know. It could wipe you out. There are things that have temporal value. There are things that have eternal value. And a man who is wise will engage in those things of eternal value. He will choose the eternal over the temporal if you're really wise. There are things that can bring you temporal gain. There are things that can bring you eternal gain. The man who is wise will choose the eternal over the temporal.
The Old Testament Study Guide from the Word for Today is the ideal companion to your Bible. Are you ready to give an answer to anyone, anywhere, who might ask about Jesus Christ? The best way to be prepared is to know and memorize the Scriptures. Pastor Chuck Smith designed the Old Testament Study Guide to help you deepen your understanding of God's Word quickly and easily. In this helpful resource, Pastor Chuck provides a verse-by-verse overview of the Old Testament, making it easier for anyone to study the Bible more effectively. As you place the Old Testament Study Guide next to your Bible, you'll discover key words that explain commonly used Hebrew terms, excerpts from Calvary Chapel distinctives, biblical maps, charts, and diagrams that help visualize the text, and thoughtful study questions for every book of the Old Testament. Grow in your understanding of Scripture and strengthen your foundation in God's Word. Order your copy today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. The Old Testament Study Guide, helping you know God's Word and share it with confidence. Now, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you, and may your life be an instrument in God's hand this week. May you have that unusual joy of realizing God's hand is upon my life and He has used me. May God help you to share His love with those that are still sitting in darkness. And may you experience the anointing of God's Spirit upon your life in a new and a very special way as He empowers you to do His work. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 1 Timothy on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources. resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning 1 Timothy 3 through 4. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see it's not the way it used to be.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.